Did you know only 9% of construction business owners make more than $200,000 a year? We believe your business should make your life better. We work with construction business owners to systemize their cash flow, workflow, and crew so they can become involved but not required. Have a listen to our podcast if you want to be in control of your business and your life. If you want to get there faster, go to involvedbutnotrequired.com.
So thanks all for coming along. So yeah, what we're going to look through today is how you can get a budget going for your company in a very short period of time. So I'm hoping everyone's using Xero because that's what we're going to look at. And if you're not, then I'm questioning why you're not. I used Maya for years until I switched to Xero. I can see QuickBooks and Maya are doing heaps of advertising now. I see them on television, I see them on the radio. I never see Xero there because it's better and because they're not advertising on television, they're advertising to people who are technology savvy and who are using it correctly. So they're spending their money on features rather than spending their money on advertising it. So if you're not on it, I suggest you do it. Perfect time to switch. You can upload all of your other stuff from Maya, QuickBooks, any other accounting software, and get it onto Xero. And you'll see why as we go through this. So while we're just waiting for other people to tune in, I'll tell you a bit about myself and my advisory board. So I'm Craig Robinson, you guys all know that. I've been an entrepreneur for 10 years or so. I'm living on the Sunshine Coast now. You can not quite see the ocean in the background there through the curtains, but I retired a couple of years ago, sold my construction business and my physio and Pilates studio down in Victoria. I've still got 51% of the construction company, but my only responsibility now is to show up once a month and chair the board meetings. And I did that. I managed to grow that to that point over 4.5 years. We grew it to over 60 staff. We're just over 100 staff in the construction company now, and we have about 45 staff in the physio and Pilates studio. Mainly through having an advisory board was what allowed me to grow them so quickly and to avoid the bear traps that come from business. So most of you guys are going to be in business. You're going to understand that not only is it hard, but there's heaps of things that come along that can trip you up at any point in time. And having some expert advisors there to guide me, I used a personal friend who'd been a former general managing director of Australian Paper, so risen to the top of a listed company that had about 3,500 staff. And I found another mentor to sit on that board with me, and we would meet once a month, go through every aspect of the business and of each of the businesses and see where we're at and look at what was coming up for the businesses. And that not only let me grow, but it kept me alive, because there's a few times there where we nearly hit the wall and hit huge traps that I hadn't seen coming. If I hadn't reported on, I wouldn't have had the ability or the foresight to see it, and I wouldn't have anyone else around to help me see it. So I've taken the last 3 years off. I actually said I was going to retire permanently when I stepped out of the construction company, but now realised I need a little bit more than that, than just my kids and leisure time. So I've started my advisory board, which is aimed at a low-cost option for helping small and medium businesses who have either hit a plateau or just aren't seeing the profits they want, or just want to grow to that next level. Because really, I'm absolutely convinced that basically reporting on your every aspect of your business every month is one of the most important things you can do. If you do that, even if you do it internally, you will get 80% of the benefits if you're from my advisory board. The reason that I think it's beneficial to report externally is because we're always busy, we're always super busy. So that time of the month comes and you've got to do reports, it's going to take you half a day. We'll do it next week, guys. Next week turns into next month, turns into next never. And you end up not looking at your reports and trudging ahead with things that aren't actually helping or actively hurting the business. And so you just work harder and harder and harder and end up in a loop of frustration and going, I know we should have been looking at our budget and our results, but I've just been too busy. So by having someone externally, it just gives you that deadline. You're still going to get 80% of benefit from preparing the reports yourself, and we'll add a bit more benefit on the day of looking at it. Don't have to use us, but I would so strongly recommend that the most powerful thing you can do running your own business is to report on every aspect of your business to someone outside of it every single month. Friend, mentor, accountants that actually know what they're talking about. And by that, I mean, if you're using an accountant as your external advisor, make sure they're running their own business, not just the studied accounting at school, because that's not teaching them to run a business, it's teaching them to look at P&Ls and balance sheets. And you need to be reporting on more than this. We're going to look at budgets today, but you need to be looking at every aspect of your business, your marketing, you need to be looking at your sales pipeline, at your team and your talent, at every lead and lag indicator that is relevant to your particular business. So what we're going to look at now, obviously, is your budget. This is a key one. It's a perfect time to look at it now. And once you've got this set up, you can run it internally, or you can use someone like my advisory board, or you can use another external advisor to report on each month. I would just really strongly recommend that you actually do report on it each month. It's going to be my key. Now, how do budgets help? Yeah, everyone's heard of budgets, and they know that they should be doing it. I'm sure you guys all know that you should be doing it, but you're not sure why. Well, budgets are going to help in a number of key ways. First time I did a budget was because I needed an overdraft from the bank. So I wrote a business plan and I wrote a budget. And I had a great mentor who guided me through that. He used to be the state lending manager for Westpac. So I'll talk to you later on about some of the tricks he taught me about getting the budget to be bank friendly so they will actually loan to you. Anytime you want finance, or if you've already got finance from a bank, they're going to want to see updated budgets and forecasting, and they're going to want to see results all the time. So you want to have it that keeps them happy. Yeah, growth and goal setting, you know, writing down a goal gives you 90% chance of coming within plus or minus 5% of that. Stats have shown that. That's for individual setting goals. If you manage to set a goal and write it down 90% of the time, you will get within 5% of that goal. If you just got it in your head, you don't write it down, only 15% of the time will you achieve that same result. So having it written down gives you a goal for the year. It lets you review it monthly. Now, this is not only just for, oh, we want to be, you know, a $10 million company, or, you know, it might be $1 million or $100,000 company, just as you're at. Here's where we want to be this year. Yeah, great. Are you going to make money on that as well? And where? Where's your efficiencies? Where's your overheads? Where's your support and admin team? There's a heap of things that you can see on a monthly review that you set your goals for, and you can check in to make sure that, you know, you're actually on track to hit that. If you're ever looking for investors, they're going to want to see where you want to take this business. Now, investor budget is quite different to a bank budget. Banks are very conservative, and we'll talk about how an investor is likely to look at it versus a bank later on, but there's no problem having 5 or 6 budgets. I'd always run at least 3. If you're starting a new company, or if you're starting out anything, you're going to have an optimistic, a realistic, and a pessimistic budget. You're pessimistic, you're going to look at, here's worst case scenario, can I still break even, can I still do this business? Your realistic is where you expect it to be, and your optimistic budget is, if this is sensational and everybody wants it, then we're reaching for the stars. You can write another one for the bank and another one for investors. No limit to the number of budgets you can have, but you're going to pick one that you're going to track your results against. Knowing when to hire admin or support staff, this is the other key thing for your budget, because so many people, all we want is people in our business who are actually creating revenue for us, whatever your business is. They're the people who are creating your product, delivering your service, who are doing billable hours, whatever it may be. They're the ones who are contributing to you getting money in the door. Then you've got the non-productive staff. Now, it's a weird thing to say, I've been a non-productive staff member in most of my companies for the entire time. I've never been on the tools physio Pilates, and I haven't been on the tools in the construction company either. I've been there as management. So all I do is draw a wage and I'm a SAP on the company. Now, obviously you want to keep that number of support staff and admin staff as low as possible. But at the same time, you need to make sure the guys who are actually out there doing things are supported in the right way. So it's a perfect way of looking at your budget to go, okay, if revenue hits this much and I've got this many staff who are producing and actually earning revenue from, how many people do I need behind the scenes? Payroll, accounts, HR, all of those back-end support staff roles that don't actually earn you anything. And it may just be your sales and marketing team. If you've got to do estimate, they might not be producing anything, but they're building your sales pipeline. Make sure you've got those stocked up enough, but not overstocked. So when I first started my construction company, we ended up with 15 staff out and actually doing work on the various construction sites around Melbourne. We ended up early on in a construction boom with 5 staff in the office. I had a 3-to-1 ratio of admin and support staff For every one admin support staff, I had three staff who were bringing in revenue. Market turned down. We now run at 11 to 1. So we know that's roughly the ratio of people, but it's really a dollar ratio that we use in our company as to when we're doing this much revenue, we need this many staff out and delivering. Therefore, we need to have this many staff in the office backing up. And we have a formula for that too. So budgets really help you with that as well. So we're going to look at why use Xero. So what I'm going to do is share my desktop here. And I'm going to log into my Xero account now. We're going to use a demo company today. It wants me to authorize again. So I did restart my computer to try and get something else going before. I'm going to bring it up for you guys. A lot of commercially sensitive information in Xero, so I would definitely want anything enabled two-factor authentication. You can see there's the companies that I've got. I'm going to use the demo company because I'm not going to bring up stuff that's commercial in confidence today. And this is going to be a dashboard that you're going to see. Now, because this is just the Xero demo company, you're going to be able to see something similar if you ever click into your Xero and get a demo company. So what we're going to do is look at the report that you would run. Typically, you're going to go to your profit and loss. Now, for the demo company here, it's just got 4 months worth of data. Now, that's the standard one that comes up. They have got a new report that doesn't seem to have this feature, but hopefully they'll adapt it. The one that I like that I run each month is this actual versus overall budget. It brings up this month. So this is to the end of June. So obviously you can adjust those date range. We won't look at how to do that now, but this is a simple one to run. The end of June, here's your actual sales, here's your budgeted sales, and here's your variance. You're down 96%. Year to date, you have made $45,000. Your budget is $80,000. You're down 43% on your revenue. So every single line item there, your advertising, you spent none, you budgeted $1,000. Cool, down 100%. I'm not sure that's a great thing, but there you go. Your bank fees are actually $300 and you budgeted $20, so you're up 1,400%. It's a really quick and easy way to look down and see where you're at each month, not only with each particular line item, but overall. You know, your net profit for the year, this demo company, is down 221%. The company's lost 30 grand off a revenue of 45 grand. I'm not sure I'd be investing in this company, but that's what the demo company we've got here. You can see how useful a report that is. If I wanted to look at a different month, I'm going to go show date range. We might look at from the 1st of May 18 to the 30th of May. I'm going to compare with the budget. So I want to compare with the year to date, so previous period. And wrong one for you guys. Compare with the overall budget. So I'm going to May 2018 update. And there it is against the budget. So I can see in May, I was actually up 4.4%. Now that may be because we're only halfway through June. So for the demo company, you don't have all the figures in. But you go back and look at the end of the month and you go, right, cool. Well, when we report about now, midway through June for May, we're going, cool, our revenue is up. Our profit's up. We expect to make $425. Woohoo. We've made nearly $2,000, so we're up 364%. Year to date, we've still got problems. But again, you can see how quick and easy Xero makes this for you to see. With push a couple of buttons, you can go back to any month and see where it is and where you're at versus budget, which is a great tool for you to look at internally. Especially, I love this red and green because it's just, you know, your eyes are drawn to 4.4%. Oh, down 26%. But you know, you're looking at why haven't we spent money on advertising, or we have, in fact, why we didn't with that with June. You know, why have we underspent on freight and general expenses? What are we holding back on? Why is our lights and power up by 33%? What have we done there? How's rent gone up 70% over budget? You know, have we hired another premises? You may know that because you set a budget and you leave it for the year, but you can run your eyes down really quickly and it's drawn to the big numbers and the big percentages and find out where you're at. So we're going to assume that this is your company, this is demo company, and you've been trading for 4 months because that's the only data we've got. But we're going to take that data and we're going to extrapolate that to allow us to build the budget for the next year. So here's the formula of the data. If you had more, you could go, right, show date range, show 1st of June, compare with previous month, and you might want the previous 12 periods, 11 periods, and that would bring you up all the, you can see for the demo company, they simply return zeros for me here, because the zero demo company's only got those 4 months. So for the point of the exercise, let's assume that your company's been going for 4 months, you think that it's reasonable figures that you're going to have used from there, and we're going to take those figures and turn that into the budget for the next financial year. So all we're going to do is export that as an Excel spreadsheet. Any questions on this, guys, you can let me know, but it's pretty simple. You can always, you'll get a copy of this to play back and watch. So it's at the bottom of export. I'm going to open that up as Excel. I can see comments from anyone, so if you can't see this because it's too small, do let me know. Right. So all I've done is export the P&L, and I've got the 4 months and the year-to-date results. What I'm going to do is go into reports, and one of the top ones here is Budget Manager. So this is the zero budget that is or isn't loaded in for each company. So you can see it's got showing the actual 3 months, so looking at April, May, and June 2017. I'm going to look at July 18, I'm going to update it there. So there's the previous 3 months that we've got. And it's already got a budget entered in, which is obviously what it's been compared to in those results. So you can go in, if you choose to, and manually enter every single category for your budget in zero. So you could go, right, okay, we'll go along to July. Our revenue is going to be $20,000. Yeehaw. You have to do manually in every single category, hit tab, go across, really slow and boring. So again, you're going to export as an Excel sheet. The alternative is you simply go import, which is what you're going to do when you're done, and you download the template. So again, download template as Excel. It's going to have the same result. What I'm going to end up with is the budget as it currently looks in zero. I'm just going to drag this out, and it's in an Excel format, which is nice. And you can see this has already been populated as a budget by the demo company, by zero. So now the first thing I'm going to do, because I want to work on the same sheet, is I'm just going to create a new sheet here. And I'm going to go across to my P&L, select all by hitting that top corner, copy it, and paste it over here. So now on two tabs, I've got my P&L and my overall budget. Now, what I need to do is project out what I'm going to have next year. So I'm going to look at a full year earnings. So I'm going to assume that I have been trading for 12 months. This is only 4, so I'm going to take it in 4 months and times it by 3. That's good. Take that, times it by 3. So I would have done 135,000. Now you may go, well, hang on, in June, I haven't really got much of a result yet. So the alternative is you take any period of time, so I can sum those 3 months there, and times them by 4. Same result I'm going to get at the end of the day. Yeah? Play with this however you want. I'm going to simply drag that down and go, right, if we extrapolate these figures out, where am I going to be in 12 months' time? The reality is I'm going to have lost $48,000 if I keep doing what I'm doing, up $135,000 worth of revenue. Yeah, I really don't want to be in this company. Right, so there's my projection for you earnings. If you've got 12 months' worth of data, great. If you've got 2 or 3 years' worth of data, even better. Put them all in there. You can either take averages from them, you can take the most. You know, relevant year, you're going to know it's your business. You know, there was an anomaly last year, so we've seen, you know, a real drop off for 2 months because we lost a salesman, so we're going to, you know, take those figures out. However it may look, you know what you're doing and what's realistic for your business. You just take in the historical figures, and we're going to use those to build next year's budget. So go to our budget, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to freeze some panes here so that if we scroll through, we can still keep looking at the month. I'm going to go straight across to the total year to date at the end here. Now, this is, as I said, it's already in there, so I don't know where they come up with this figure. What I'm going to say is we're going to take last year's figures. I'm going to times it by 50% increase. I'm going to times it by 1.5. You can see all I've done is taken that cell, so I went equals across my tab at the bottom there, P&L, and I've picked the full year earnings, clicked on that, and then multiplied by 1.5 and enter. And that's telling me if I do 50% more revenue next year than I would have done had I traded a full year this year, I'll do $203,179.73. Now, you can see this figure hasn't updated down here because it's a sum, so I'm going to leave that because it's a good verification for me. Now, the simplest thing to do is simply go to every single one of your months and divide by 12. So I'm going to go equals, I'm going to take my year-to-date total. I'm going to hit the F4 key here because you'll see up here it's come up with cell Q8. What I want to do is to be able to drag that across, so by hitting F4 it'll go $Q$8, which just makes it an absolute value in zero. I'll get too technical, but it just means that as I drag it, you'll keep it there. I'm going to divide that by 12. So each of my months now drag that across, update. No, it doesn't like it. Okay, so I've got 3 months worth of historical data in there that I'm going to get rid of. We're going to start from July 2018 for this one. Now, if I come over, divide that by 12, I should see that the total is exactly what my total there is by simply putting those formulas in. Now, that's assuming that every month nice and smooth and even, and you're going to do exactly the same revenue in each month, which is almost never the case. So to give you an example for the construction company, we know that come December and January, the whole industry shuts down for about 3 weeks over Christmas holidays. So we talk about having 11 revenue months a year. So I'm going to simply divide these by 11, pull those across. Then I'm going to go and have a look at my December and January. So December we're open for 3 weeks. So we're open for about 75% of the time. So I'm going to times that by 0.75. And in January, we only do about a quarter of a month's worth of actual revenue. So I'm going to times that result by a quarter, 25. So I've now got consistent revenue across 10 months of the year. I'm only assuming I'm going to earn revenue for 11 months. December of those 11 months is down to 3/4 of every other month, and January is 1/4 of every other month. I'm going to check my figures over here, and fair enough, I've still got the exact same figure coming out in both of those. So again, I'm reverse engineering it based on what I want to do growth-wise. Now you can get far more technical, and you often should with your budget when you start to go through it. This is a case of going, let's build a budget in an hour. So it's a really quick and simple thing for you to be able to go, right, I want to be able to get a budget that gives me a rough idea. So this is a way to smooth it out. If you've got fluctuating, so say you're in retail, you know that you're going to do 25% of your revenue in December, and your historical figures show you this. You might have done 16% of it in November. You might only do 10% going back to October, 6% in August, 4%, and 4% in each of July and August. Now I'm just going to sum these up to make sure that I don't overshoot it. So 65%. June, again, I might do 4%. January, I might have a sale. I might do 12% of my revenue in January. But then February, it goes there, and I only do 8%. Yeah, I've got 6% in March and 5% left in April. Make that 2%, actually. I'm going to need to do some in May. Right, if I knew that that was my figures, get there, 101, go 2. Right, so I've got 100% of my revenue over those months. And now simply go, if I've got these figures from previous years, each month is going to be my total revenue multiplied by the percentage I expect it to be here. I'm going to just drag those out, and bang, I can predict each month if I want to still hit this reverse engineered amount. Come up with the same, so I must have put in an extra percentage there because we've got more than 100% coming in. But that should allow me, if we work that back, we'll find out where we've got on. Now we've got them all. So play with that and figure out, again, if you've seen these differences in figures, you want to know where you're going wrong, so you can make sure that these add up, because they all should add up to exactly 100%. I doesn't like to. So if I had these figures from last year, again, if I assume for a sec that I've already got these, I'm just going to make them, don't worry about what I'm doing here, guys, just put in as values so we can look at it. If these are last year's results, I could again reverse engineer that. I could go, right, I've made $200,000 in revenue. I'll take what percentage of each month as a total. And it's 9%. Right, I reverse engineer that back across all of these, and I can see where it's going to be. Doesn't like it because I didn't put an absolute. So this is what happens if you don't press F4. So I'm simply going to go back to here and go, it's N9, F4. So it's divided by the same one every time. Back to 100%, and it's telling me here's where your revenue is at. So again, I'm now going to go, right, it's 9% times my N8 as an absolute value. Okay, because of, again, because I've reverse engineered it, I would have to take these from a previous year and actually paste them in. The thing about Excel, it can get complicated. But if I do that now, okay, right, that's 9% times my N8. And drag that along. That should give me, bang, there's my figures, they match up. And I've got a figure for each month, which is actually going to be realistic as to where I'm going to go. So you can be as creative as you want with this, but this is a quick way to go, cool, I'm going to start with what I want to do. And that's what we started with here. I want to grow by 50% this year. How I make that look so it looks realistic is up to me. I'm going to do the same with each other thing. So I'm going to go, my cost of goods sold. Well, for here, I'm going to simply take my cost of goods over here, and again, times it by 1.5. And I'm going to take each of these, and for the sake of this, I'm just going to assume again that we've got the same cost of goods in each month. If I was doing it the way here, I would simply go that percentage times my cost of goods sold, because my cost of goods is going to go up and down as a percentage as well. So if I was doing an even 12 months, it would be divided by 12. So here, if I'm using the percentage, I'm going to take it and take that percentage and put it there. If I'm doing 11 months, if you're doing a construction company, I would just do the same thing. So it should, obviously, cost of goods are going to fluctuate with your sales. Check there, yep, the cost of goods has tallied up here. Right, so now I just need to go and do the same, but we've got no other income from last year, so I'm going to do the same for my operating expenses. Now, the thing to watch here is often you've got in your chart of accounts, you've got more items, more accounts than you actually use. So if you just try and copy them straight across, they won't marry up. So I'm just going to insert the entire column over here down. I'm going to take my chart of account and paste it next to it. You can see advertising lines up, bank fees, cleaning, yes, commission. Well, obviously didn't pay commission because when I look here, there is no commission. So if I simply insert and shift those down, right, commission doesn't line up. Consulting and accounting should line up with consulting and accounting. I picked two lines there. So all I do is make sure that I've got, this is my quick cheat way of doing it, of making sure I've got each of them lining up. So consulting and accounting lines up with consulting and accounting. Entertainment, freight and courier, yep. Income tax expenses, insurance, interest expenses. I didn't have any of those. That's interesting. I'm not sure I'm absolutely satisfied with the way this demo company has been run. But again, I'm going to line up legal with legal. Lighting, motor vehicle, office, printing, rent, subscriptions, superannuation. I didn't pay any super either. ATO is going to love me. Telephone and internet, I didn't do any international travel, not surprising given I lost $35,000 in this company last year. Right, so I've now got the blanks where I haven't actually had those come in. If that doesn't make sense, just watch it again, you'll see it. So all I want to do now is I go to my overall budget and I can simply take every single one of these and go, right, it's going to equal my P&L results over here times by 1.5. And I'm going to drag that down. All of them. Now, that again has to be factored into the total annual expenses for each month. So what I'm going to do is simply take it and divide it by 12. For a lot of these, that will be the case. For some of them, it won't. So again, do it quickly and simply. You can drag it across. Yeah, things like accounting, you're only going to have those once a month. So again, I've got to make sure, because what I've not done is made that an absolute. So what I'm actually going to do here is take that, make it an absolute. I'm going to delete that second dollar symbol, which will let me drag it across the whole table. I drag that all the way to the end here. You see, I've now got it for every single month. And by simply putting the dollars in front of the end, what I can now do is drag this down my whole table here. Bang. Each one of those is now a 12th of the total over here. Yeah? So again, we've simply upped our expenses by 50%. You scroll down to the bottom for the year, while we've got 50% more revenue, we're now losing $73,000. So what we're going to obviously do is go, well, let's be a little bit realistic on that and see where that's going to go up and down. So I'm going to go and have a look at my costs, and I've just got them lined up side by side and see which of those is going to be the same. If I increase my revenue by 50%, am I going to increase my advertising by 50%? Hell yes. If you don't, how are you growing revenue? So that's fair enough. It may increase by more, and you can change that around. Bank fees. I'm going to do 50% more revenue without needing another bank account. So I'm going to take out that. I'm going to pay the same bank fees next year as this year. I'm going to assume, for the sake of this, that I'm going to keep the same office and the same cleaner. So my cleaning bills aren't going to go up. Didn't pay commission, consulting and accounting. Paid $441 for an accountant. As I grow, I think I'm going to need more accounting because I'm going to need a decent accountant. So I'm going to increase that by three. So I'm only spending $800 a year on accounting. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to spend $5,000 this year on accounting as I grow to be a reasonable business and get this set up. More entertainment, yep. Going to do more entertainment because I've got more clients. Freight and courier, well, I saved $40 negative from last year. I'm going to say I'm going to spend at least $250 on freight and courier this year. Yeah, my general expenses are going up. Income tax insurance, well, again, I need to have insurance. I should have, you know, public liability and director's insurance and business interruption in general. So I would go and get quotes. I'd put them in, but we're doing this in an hour. So let's just call it $20,000 for this business to allow for insurance for the year. Legal expenses, well, if I've been paying a lawyer, I'm probably still going to have to pay a lawyer next year. Heating and power, again, I'm going to use the same office. I'm not going to have necessarily many extra staff, so I'm not going to, and computers don't draw much power. So I'm going to use the same power to heat and light the office. Yep, motor vehicle expenses are going up because you have to drive more for more clients. Office expenses, printing stationery, they're all going to go up. Don't think they won't. They will. If you're doing more revenue and you needed them for that revenue last year, they will increase as well. Rent, if I'm using the same office, my rent isn't going to go up. Now, be realistic, because it's so easy to rip the guts out of overheads and then just miss them all year. So think about it realistically. You know, subscriptions. You're going to go, well, I don't need any new subscriptions. Yeah, you are. Guaranteed. If you found things that you found useful that you're paying for, there'll be more apps and more subscriptions that you'll pay next year. You know, that may elevate astronomically, but for here, we'll leave it at 50% more. Now, you haven't paid super. I don't like that. Or my demo company. I'm going to take the wages and salary for here, and the times it by 0.095, so 9.5%. to allow for super, because you know, we need to be paying super if we want to factor into our budget. Telephone internet may not go up. Travel national or international yet. Again, I'm not going to travel because the company's not making money. If I had to travel nationally previously, and I'm assuming it's for sales, your company may just be visiting, you know, I visit my sister in Perth. Obviously, I always attend a business conference while I'm there. So I'm going to assume I'm going to do that 50% more, because I'm going to assume that it's for business purposes. Wages and salaries. Now, you know, when I look here, we're still losing more money because I've just increased the expenses. Now, are they going up 50%? Well, I'm going to actually go and calculate. I'm going to be a director working in this business. I'm going to pay myself $60,000 this year. I'm going to get in someone to help me. They're going to be worth $80,000 a year. I'm only going to have them 4 days a week. So I'm going to times that by 0.8. 4 out of 5 days, 80% time. So my wages bill will be $124,000, and you can see correspondingly my super's dropped as 9.5% of that. I look down at the bottom, I'm still losing $25,000. What? That person for $80,000, I'm going to have to get someone not quite as good, I'm going to pay him $60,000, and I'm going to get him in for 3 days a week. Cool. Well, you know, I'm slightly above break even at $5,000. Now I go, cool, that's a budget I can live with. You know, if I said I wanted to earn more revenue, I might go up to the top here and go, you know, I don't want to just earn $203,000. I'm going to take that and I'm going to increase it even more. I'm going to increase that figure. Take it back here because we got rid of it before. By 70%, times it by 1.7. So that's obviously going to throw up my profit. But if I'm going to do that, I'm going to have to increase other costs like advertising. So allow for that to go up by, you know, at least twofold. And then I'm going to have to revisit every single line item and go, which one of those costs are going to escalate as my revenue and delivery of product or service goes up as well. So be realistic. It's easy to try and cut the guts out of your overheads and make it look good and then find that you just can't actually hit that. So when you are going through your overhead, be real about what those costs are, because I have coached and mentored so many businesses who go, no, we're set up now, we're where we need to be. Next year, we're ready to go. Our revenues are going to escalate, but our costs are going to stay the same. I'm calling BS. Rent and power may. They're some of the very few expenses that will stay the same. Pretty much, yeah, your bank fees, okay. A lot of the others are going to grow as you grow. If you don't think you need more support staff, I'm here to tell you that you will end up letting your customers down. If you don't put in this line item here, so pay yourself a fair wage and have enough support staff as you grow, you're going to find out that the guys delivering your product or service don't have the support they need. If it's a HR manager or a payroll person not getting paid on time, they're going to leave. If it's your admin support for your customers for after sales service, they don't have that, you're going to lose customers. So be realistic about your overheads. Don't just go, my revenue's going to grow, my overheads are going to stay the same. You're just setting yourself up for disappointment. But that's how you do it. So what we've got there is a budget that I'm going to hit save on. That will have gone to my downloads folder. Overall budget 49. So now what I'm going to do is take you back to zero. And here we are at our budget manager. All we're going to do is browse for a selected file. I'm going to go to downloads. Find the one that's most modified recently and import it. As it thinks about it, 29 accounts with updated budgets, confirmed. Right, so now into Xero Budget Manager, I'm going to just get the showing previous month, update that to just show my budget. All these figures that are now in the Xero Budget Manager are the figures from that spreadsheet that we just updated. So I literally, in that time, in what, probably 25 minutes, have gone and created next year's budget. I simply upped the revenue by 50% or 70% in the end. We decided what our month curve looked like for this, you know, retail business where we're doing 25% of our revenue in December and 2%, I think it was, in April. We've updated our costs very roughly, but we've got them all in there and we've got something to compare them to. So that's all it takes. If you want to finesse it more, it depends on how much time you've got. You're going to go through and start to look at what you do. So, you know, you might start to go, well, advertising, September, October, November, December is when we really punch the advertising. We don't advertise in the month where we don't get customers in the door. So, again, you can tinker with those to make them how they go. Bank fees, they're going to be consistent. Cleaning, consistent. Entertainment, well, that's going to change for you. Often most companies spend 60% of their entertainment bill in December for their staff Christmas party. Okay, so you're going to have nothing, big spend, nothing, small spend. Think about that if you're doing that. So the same with accounting. You know, most of the time, people see their accountant once a quarter. So you're going to have July, a big spend. Nothing in August, September. October, a big spend. So you have the same total. You know, and again, if you wanted to do that, if we find our consulting accounting, I'd simply wipe these figures out and go, right, for July, I'm taking my end figure, $5,000, I'm dividing it by 4. Now if I go to my N28 and make it an absolute again, just hit that F4 key, I can then simply copy that October. Now, you wouldn't do it in January, you normally do it in February when your VAT is due, and you're going to do it in April. Right, so still my $5,000 there, but it's now spread across four different payments. Now that just makes it better when you hit report generate, because you can see that otherwise you're going, oh, we didn't spend anything. Wow, we overspent on our accounting. And for the first 2 months of the year, when you spend it in July for your accountant, you're going, wow, we've massively overspent by threefold for July. By the time you get to September, oh, it's okay, we've spent what we should have on our accounting. But then bang, you spend it again in October and you look behind again. This way, it only comes up when you set. How detailed you want to get into it is up to you guys. If you've just done what we did in 25 minutes, at least you've got a budget. It may not be perfect, but hey, if the overheads are up or down, you're going to know and realize these things. Oh, we only see an accountant once a quarter. At least you've got it. At least you can track it. And you can track the key things. Is our revenue growth where we want to see it? Our cost of goods. That's your efficiency measure. Your gross profit is efficiency. So I don't know what this company is delivering, since they're running retail, if the cost of goods is only $3,000 to $230,000, probably more likely a consulting firm. They don't have much cost of goods. They're not paying themselves much. They've got a set salary and wage, but for every dollar they sell, they don't have a lot to deliver. If you're making a product, and for every $100 of product you make, it costs you $70 to manufacture that, then the cost of goods is going to be 70%. Your gross profits are going to be 30%. So that's going to vary based on industry. And you can look at that and go, right, why are we getting less efficient? What's happened? Especially if you're delivering a service, if you're billing per hours or you're quoting on it, you're an IT company that's going, we'll deliver you a website, and you find that you're putting a lot more hours into the website build than you quoted for, then your cost of goods sold is going to escalate massively. Your gross profit is going to diminish, and you can see, wow, what our problem is, even though we're selling flat out, our efficiency is dropping. Could be a bunch of reasons. I've seen companies go, wow, we've got a mega sales year that's happened, and the gross profits drop through the floor because they haven't hired enough staff to keep up with the revenue they're now generating. So their staff are all working 60, 70 hours a week, are run ragged, aren't seeing their families, aren't performing, they're just zombies at their desks. And while they think they're delivering, reality is when you look at what you're paying these guys for deliverables, they're just not getting the things done in the time that they used to because they're not working efficiently. So their GP dropped off. Or they've brought in external consultants. In another instance, different company, but I saw them bringing external contractors and consultants to do that work on a short-term basis. Those guys weren't motivated. They weren't part of the team. They weren't on board with the new set. They were paid and paid by the hour. They knew it was a short-term thing. They dragged their heels. And again, the efficiency dropped off. So by watching that, you can look at these key things and go, right, where am I? And what's happening with the company? Yeah, your overheads are the one that people tend to go to so quickly. Yeah, you do need to watch them. But far better to watch your revenue and your efficiency than you are just looking at the overhead, because this is one of the last things you want to cut out. The hierarchy of things, if you want to increase your profit margin, start by, can you increase your prices? Yes or no? Now, I know I'm not going to go into that argument here, but if you can, sweet, it simply pumps it straight to the bottom line. Can you increase your efficiency? Excuse me. Is there a way you can increase the efficiency of delivering whatever you deliver? If you can, great. Again, it's going to pump it straight back to the bottom line. Only for the third time when you're looking at going, I'm not making enough money, should you look at overheads? If you can cut overheads, great, cut your overheads. If you can't, then the fourth one, look at cutting heads, getting rid of people or making them redundant to try and keep up. But overheads should only be the third thing you look at if you're not making money. So in looking at that, what we're going to say is that's, if you've got results, it's a great way to do it. You've seen how simple it is. And we've seen the benefits of where you're going to get real benefit with that. Now I'll switch that back to here as well and show you the benefits, which we've just talked about. Really, we've gone through there. You can track your growth, your cost of sales efficiency, your overheads, ensuring they don't blow that. Your wages for your support staff, we've talked about that as well. And it lets you predict when to hire additional staff for your office. So part of what you've got to be aware of is if you are growing, and you do 70% increase in growth, you will need more support staff. And you need to make sure that they're growing at an acceptable level as well. So for those of you already got a company, that's basically all you're going to want to need to know. Seeing how to set it up, seeing how to make sure your business and revenue and profit track quickly and simply, and how to monitor it. I would so strongly recommend that you find someone to be accountable to run that report, print it out, and look at it each month. You're going to want a lot more reports than that, but you can send it through. If you're one of our clients already, then I'm happy to go through as much of this as you need on your own. We'll do a one-on-one support video call. And if there's any sticking points you've got once you're in a shop, we'll sort those out before the next advisory board. If you're a bit hesitant and you're not sure that my advisory board's the right way to go for you guys, if you're watching this and you're putting together the budget yourself, then we've put together a quick business health check that will show you where it's at. Anyone who's watching the webinar today, I will prepare that business health check myself. It'll only take you 3 to 5 minutes to do, and you get some key takeaways to make sure your business is on firm ground. It's going to say, have you got a budget? You can tick yes. excuse me. Now, for anyone who's also watching today, if you do the business health check, I'm happy to spend an hour with you on a video conference going over this or any other aspect that comes out of the business health check. We're going to do that for the next 48 hours. So if you complete the business health check, let us know you attended the webinar. I'll set a time with you in the next week where we can go through the budget and your business health check. Only going to be for people who are here today, so I'm going to be for the next 48 hours. Now, what I'm going to do while we do keep going through, for those of you who jump to the business health check, I'll put it up here for you. It's www.myadvisoryboard.com.au/BHC. So my whole screen's frozen there. So I'm assuming you guys can still see me, but it's when it comes back up, it will be myadvisoryboard.com.au/business health check, or BHC, sorry. Now, what we're going to have a quick look at is if you've got to create a budget from scratch. We've only got about 10 minutes left, so this is going to be a quick and simple way to do it, because you've seen all the tools you need to do. You're going to have the same principles that come out. You're going to go and export your budget to an Excel spreadsheet. Open this up from scratch. That all my messy work is all over it. All you're going to have is, if you opened it up and you haven't run a company before, you've never loaded a budget, it's going to load up with a whole bunch of zeros. So all you're doing is starting with a blank canvas. You're going to have the same effect in the end. If you go, right, I would work backwards and go, right, well, I need to earn, so I started my own business, $80,000 this year. Okay, I'm going to divide that by 12. I'm going to pay myself a consistent wage right through the year. I've decided that I'm going to have the following expenses. Income tax. Okay. Sorry, I just realised that I haven't actually got you guys. Seeing this. Yep, there. All right, so we've seen that there. Cool. So, sorry, I'm talking through this budget that you're not seeing. All I've done is you've got your budget up here with a bunch of zeros. And all we're doing is, as I said, reverse engineering it. So we're starting from your costs. So I've put in down the bottom here, just running through what I was talking to you about while you couldn't see it. Put in the fact that you're going to earn $80,000 a year, and I've divided that by 12. So it's cost a month. Then I'm simply going to go look at every single one of my expenses and figure out what it's going to cost me a month. So I'll put $20 bank fees, $240 in cleaning, $120 for cleaner, twice a month. General expenses, income tax, probably not. Am I going to need insurance? Get some quotes, decide whether or not, depends on your business, but you're going to want those pretty quickly. Do I need legal expenses? It may just be a home office, but nonetheless, you're still going to pay a third of all your costs now coming from the company. So figure out if you're paying $500 a quarter for gas, water, and power, then you're going every quarter, $500 times by a third of the cost of the home office. Put that in. then I can go, right, what is it going to cost me to actually live? Now that I'm going to be in this business, starting from scratch, how much do I need to earn just to survive? And the reality here is, rough figures, and you put them in more accurately, you got 100 grand. Right, okay. What's my cost of goods? Again, if I'm delivering a product that's going to cost me 70%, then I would simply put here, my cost of goods are going to be times by 0.7. Yeah. And then I go, right, I'm going to have to earn 300 grand. It's going to cost me 210 grand. I'm still going to be going backwards because I'm still going to be down. In this case, because it's been $99,000 to survive. Can't. Spend a bit of time with you guys. Again, if you've attended the webinar, then I am happy to actually spend time with you and talk about it on the phone for an hour. Just do the business health check first, and we'll go through it from there. All I've asked you to do is you get an email from Lorena, who's our client services manager. Respond to that and say, yeah, look, love the webinar. I would like to jump on board and do a 1 hour call with Craig. If there's any other questions you've got, I'm going to hang around for a few minutes and see if we can get some there. It's frozen. I'm going to get some chat. So no, I'm not going to hang around. I'm going to get you guys to give that a shot. And if you've got any questions, reply to Lorena or to myself. And yeah, I hope you got some value. I look forward to seeing all our MOB clients soon at our advisory boards. We're at Sydney in 2 days. And if you're thinking about it, feel free to reach out. We'll talk to you about it. I could not stress strongly enough to find someone.
We believe your business should make your life better.